My name is Mr. Jacobs.
Good morning, Mr. Kunene. How are you doing? Greetings to our chair and everybody on the platform.
Greetings, my whip. Sorry about the loss. Your loss is our loss, my dear.
Thank you.
We feel saddened. Myself, I'm traumatized because I fell and I survived. Yesterday was not right. So at around 11:45, I will be leaving. So the committee may decide who gonna share because I must go for checkup. Even if we don't mind, if my whip is ready, you may even proceed right from the start. I said, because yesterday I failed to reflect this because you were not there because of this bereavement. So I thought even today you might not be in. King, you will tell us if everybody is in so that we can start and then I will hand over. So that you elect the chairperson, as long as my whip is around. When is the funeral, Honorable Jacobs?
We're just sorting out things with the family this morning. So I might also just be in and out here. Maybe we could suggest someone else to chair. The families, the chief of us asked us to just help the family today. But as soon as I know details, I'll let you know.
No problem. I may start as I've indicated that along the way.
Okay.
So that you are also comfortable.
Okay, chair.
But we'll do that to respect the committee.
Honorable Kunene, are we waiting for quorum or can we start?
Confirming.
Good morning, Comrade King, Honorable Faiz and Mr. King.
Good morning, Honorable Ibrahim. We're just waiting for you.
Good morning, Comrade Honorable April. Thanks for last night. I appreciate it. Eh?
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, Jay.
Chair? Hello?
Chair?
Yes, great.
Morning, Chair, and morning to all honorable members.
Good morning, baby girl.
Thank you, ma. Just sent to nominate the name of Comrade Hein April.
Thank you. Thank you, darling. It's good that you must rotate, you must learn. You are our future leader. I was going to nominate you, so unfortunately.
Oh, you will do it next time, no problem, mother. We have to learn you are right.
Yeah. Thank you, Dad.
Okay, ma. Thank you, Chair.
I will just open the meeting and then hand over to him. Because Honorable Jacobs is busy with the bereavement, myself, I must go to the doctor. So I don't want pieces, you know me. So Honorable April will act on my behalf. So, Braking.
Okay.
Bako na manje sebahlangene so that ba accept igama laka.
I can
open the meeting officially, so formally, so, and a request, make that apology. I indicated that I'm not well. I'm undergoing some surgeries. So today, unfortunately, that physician has got some dates. You don't just go to him unnoticed. So unfortunately, but I'm happy that I will start with the meeting and request the committee to appoint an acting chairperson, and then I leave. So you will tell me.
Okay. Can you see the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. I also wanted to tell you that the procedure, we have to do it in the meeting.
Exactly. So
we can start now. We do have a quorum.
Okay. Honorable members, good morning.
Recording in progress.
Take this opportunity to welcome all of you. You are warmly welcome into this meeting. The purpose of the meeting is to deal with the agenda before us. The first item where we're going to deal with the Constitutional and Legal Service Office on the legislative drafting unit on the proposed committee bill, which we proposed some times ago. And then we'll proceed with the next item, which will be briefing by the department on the BRRR. So we'll also consider the minutes of the previous meeting. So this is our agenda. DM, you are warmly welcome. As I've indicated that I'm still not yet fine. Unfortunately, today is my appointment date where I must drive to the surgery. So I'm requesting the committee to appoint an acting chairperson on my behalf. King, you'll advise me. Can do it by the show of hands.
Honorable members, since the chairperson will be leaving the meeting due to the appointment with the doctor, so in the absence of the chairperson, we'll need to have a acting chairperson. So I'll call hands for the nomination of the chairperson. I recognize the hand of Honorable Richard Kamelan.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, colleagues, honorable members and officials in this platform. Chairperson, we wish you well. I just want to propose the name of Honorable April to be the acting chairperson for today's meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Bridget. I will be leaving. I'm any seconder?
The name of Honorable April has been any seconder for the
seconded.
Thank you. Chef. Yes, Chairperson. Honorable
Bridget seconded. It's fine. Yes.
Thank you so much.
To second.
Thank you. I'm now handing over to Honorable April to proceed with the meeting. Honorable April, just a reminder that we have lost a member yesterday from the NCOP. I'm handing over to you. It's going to be in your hands. Thank you so much, Honorable Members. See you next week.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you for having the confidence entrusted upon me by the committee to chair the session of the meeting. Before we go into this meeting, I want us to observe 1 minute of silence for the Member of Parliament that we lost in the course of her duty yesterday. So I'm just requesting 1 minute of silence. Thank you, everyone. Well, good morning again. As the chair has already gone through the agenda, I want to welcome all of you again to this meeting of the Portfolio Committee of Small Business. We are hoping that we would finish within the time given to us. It's never a rush issue, but it's the issue of us dealing with the content that is there and understanding it and engaging it and so on and so forth. I would like to now open for roll call and apologies, King.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson. We received an apology of the Minister through her PLO. Indicated that the minister will not be able to join the meeting due to cabinet meeting that has started at 8:30. And we were informed that the deputy minister, Honorable Stumo Dlamini, will be leading the delegation from the department. We've also received an apology of Honorable Mabiga, who indicated that he is not well, will not be able to join the meeting. And then we also have to put it on record that the chairperson has excused herself, hence the acting chairperson is Honorable April, which has been elected by the members of the committee. The chairperson is attending the position, which has a long standing appointment. So those are the apologies that I have received, chairperson. In the form of a roll call, in the platform, we do have Honorable Matulelwa, we do have Honorable Kruger, Honorable Mieni, Honorable Nkosinthuli, Honorable Kromelang, Honorable Jacobs, Honorable De Villiers, Honorable Hendricks, Honorable Zungula, Honorable April, and Honorable Mtenja. So those are the members that I recognized and admitted in the platform. More than that, we are having two officials from the office of the legislative draft team, that is Advocate Van der Merwe and Advocate Telani, who will be guiding us, making the presentation on the drafting of the bill. And then in the platform from the department, we have indicated that Honorable Sdumo Dlamini, which is the Deputy Minister, is leading the delegation. We have also recognized the presence of the Director General, Mr. Mkumani. I've also recognized the CEO of SIDA, Mr. Mbata, and also Mr. Mpolisi, CEO of SIFA, and also recognize the CFO of the department and the other officials in the name of Ms. Dube, Mr. Bajis, Mr. Mahoto, Ms. Machola, Ms. Nomvula, and Mr. Elias Mabane, who is from SID. So unfortunately, not that I look down upon those that I have not mentioned, but I just wanted to recognize those who are senior management in the department and the two entities. Chairperson, those are the people and the members who are in the platform.
Thank you so much, King. It means we correct, and therefore we can go ahead with this meeting. Can I open the floor for the adoption of the agenda as it was read by our chair? I open now for the adoption of the agenda. Can I have a mover for the adoption of the agenda?
Chair.
I see the name of Honorable Yan. His hand. Honorable Yan, you can speak.
Good morning, Chairperson April. Good morning, colleagues. Before I say anything, I must also just say my sincere condolences for the colleagues who have maybe lost a dear friend, at least someone who you knew very well. It is an extremely sad situation, and I really think of everyone who might be sad today, including obviously the member who we've lost, family and friends. So thank you, Chairperson, for that minute of silence. I think it was very appropriate. Chair, I don't have a problem with the agenda itself. I would just like to request that on the side it says members, and I just see that Honorable Mabika has not been added there as a member. So just to keep the formalities correct. If you look at the document, the agenda document on the screen, you will see there's on the left-hand side, it says members. If we can just please add Honorable Mabika there as a member. We have checked his name was ATC'd on the 27th of January. So he's been an effective member of this committee since the 27th of January this year. But apart from that, I am happy to propose that we accept the agenda. We can just add Honorable Mabika's name to the list on the left. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable de Villiers. I think the administration must take note of that. Last time I recall, you did say that you will get your chief whip to write. But just note that it's the second time that this is that Honorable de Villiers is raising the same. Do we have a seconder for the adoption of the agenda with the amendments? Honorable Hanif Hendricks.
I second the Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much for that. The agenda is duly adopted. We are going to give over for the briefing by the Constitutional and Legal Services Office for the Legislative Drafting Unit on the proposed committee bill of the Small Enterprise Commission on the over to the department.
Morning, Chairperson, Acting Chairperson, good morning, members. My name is Talana Ali, and I'll be presenting. For the sake of bandwidth, I'm going to switch off my video when I present.
Before you start, Talana, we would also ask that all those who present, please open your video first, even if you have to maybe close it afterwards when you're presenting, so that we can see you when you are presenting, or at least who's presenting. You, over to you, Talana.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson. So as a way of introduction, I think we can all agree that the committee remains of the view that in light of a variety of challenges best in the SMME sector, it supported the first Parliament's recommendation that a small enterprise commission be created through an act of Parliament. After having several discussions with the department, the committee resolved that a committee bill should be pursued. The purpose of this presentation is to sketch the process and the estimated timeframes regarding a committee bill, should this option be followed. But before we begin with the process, policy needs to be drafted. A drafter needs a policy document or a concept outlining what the committee hopes to achieve and what the amendments should entail. A policy document will contain will identify the mischief or the gap in law, the problems that are concerned, and show the research done and possible solutions. Other questions could include, who is responsible to execute the bill? What must they do to fix the problem? What resources are needed? What is the time frame of the implementation? Will it all be implemented at once or in phases? Are there operational details that need to be done in regulations? And how will implementation be monitored? Is there any reporting to Parliament? The more complete the policy document is, the faster the bill can be drafted. And the estimate time for development of such a policy is 1 to 2 months. So members, the next few slides will set out the various stages of the process, of the committee bill process. The first column on your left indicates the rule that is applicable. The second column then indicates the activity, and then the third column indicates the estimate time frame. So the first part of the process in terms of National Assembly Rule 268 and 271 is the request for permission from the House to develop the legislation. Now, as members will recall, that on the 22nd of February, we approved that memorandum, and now we await it to be tabled at the NA. The second step then is National Assembly Rule 273, 2, 3, and 4, which is the actual tabling of the request. The Speaker will then table the memorandum, and the Assembly may give permission with or without conditions, or they may refuse the request or refer it back to the committee. So once the committee has permission, we presume that the committee may want to perhaps have a consultation with the department regarding the National Small Enterprises Amendment Bill of 2020. And it is proposed that perhaps the department should present the bill to the committee, and then the committee may then take a decision whether the bill can be used as a base document to feed into the committee bill. And this we estimate about 1 to 2 months. The next step then is in terms of Rule 2741A. The committee will then prepare the draft bill. Should permission be granted, the committee prepares a draft bill, and policy should already be developed by then. The Constitutional Legal Services Office can assist the committee with the development of the bill. During the development of the bill, further research and policy development may occur. The estimated time for this portion of the process is an average of 8 to 15 weeks for draft one. But if the executive bill is used as a base document, the time frame could possibly be reduced. The next step is NA Rule 2741B, where the committee consults the joint tagging mechanism. The committee will then consult the JTM for advice on the classification of the bill, and this normally takes about 1 week. And then, in terms of National Assembly Rule 2761B, the notice of the intention to introduce is given in the Government Gazette, together with a copy of the bill or an explanatory summary of the bill. Committee support will assist the committee, And this normally takes 1 week. The next step is the public participation process. And in terms of National Assemblies Rule 2762, 275A and B, invitations for comments on the draft bill must take place. If a copy of the bill is published in the Government Gazette, an invitation must be made for interested persons and institutions to submit written representations on the bill. Interested persons must be given at least 3 weeks after the publication for comment. The relevant department or organised state must also be given sufficient opportunity to make their submissions to the committee. And this normally takes about 3 weeks. And then in terms of Section 59(1)(a) of the Constitution, any written comments received must be considered. It is required that Parliament provides meaningful opportunities for public participation in the lawmaking process. The level of further engagement with the public, e.g. public hearings, depends on the various factors, which include the nature and importance of the legislation, the impact of the legislation on the public, and any time constraints and efficiency in the lawmaking process. And the leading judgments to this effect is the Doctors for Life International versus Speaker judgment, as well as the Land Access Movement judgment. Following the public participation process, the committee may make amendments to the draft bill during deliberations. So members, the bill would be then advertised, and then afterwards, as normally is the process, the committee deliberates on the bill, and there could be further public consultations may be required. But any new amendments or material amendments to that are proposed would then have to be advertised. But I will discuss this later on in the slide. In terms of National Assembly Rule 275C, the committee will then consult the JTM for advice on the classification of the bill in the form that it will be introduced. This is the final bill, and this takes about 2 weeks. And then further, in terms of National Assembly Rule 2794, the bill must then be certified by the Chief Parliamentary Legal Advisor or a Parliamentary Legal Advisor designated, and as being consistent with the Constitution and existing legislation and properly drafted in the form of style. If it is drafted by us, this should take 1 day. If not, it will take then an average of 2 weeks. In terms of National Assembly Rule 2791 and 3, the committee will then introduce the bill by submitting a copy thereof and a supporting memorandum to the Speaker, and this normally takes 1 week. Then the findings of the JTM as per National Assembly Rule 275C is tabled with the bill when it is introduced, and this takes about 1 day. Now, as I mentioned, honourable members, in terms of National Assembly Rule 286(4)(k), the committee may recommend approval or rejection of a bill or present with its report an amended bill or a redraft of the bill to the Assembly. And provided that the case of a redraft, the subject of the bill has not been extended without the permission of the Assembly as contemplated in paragraph B and C. So this in essence states that if the bill has been advertised by the committee and during public hearings there might be alterations to the original bill, you cannot extend on the subject matter of the bill without permission from the Assembly. As amendments may flow from the facilitation of public involvement, deliberations in the committee, oversight exercises done by the committee, responses from the department, and advice on legal questions that arise. Public involvement after amendments were made. There are amendments that are material, that deal with new issues, and that the public may not have been aware of would then have to be also further advertised. And this is taken from the judgment of Truitt versus Minister of Department of Trade and Industry, and also the South African Veteran Association versus the Speaker of the National Assembly. So, this is often a grey area, and each case will be based on its own merits. But the crux of these two important judgments, members, is that if you do advertise, and if there are changes that affect a group of people that had not been aware of that change, you would have to re-advertise. And finally, In terms of National Assembly Rule 2821 and 2902B, the bill does not have a first reading. Instead, it is placed on the order paper for a second reading. At least 3 Assembly working days must elapse since the bill was introduced before the second reading, and the estimated time is 1 week. So in conclusion, the estimated time in total on average for 4 to 8 months in the first house, and this includes committee reports, consulting the JTN deliberations, which is 8 to 13 weeks, legislative drafting, 8 to 15 weeks, facilitation of public involvement, which is 5 to 6 weeks, and house procedure, which is 3 weeks. And then we move on to the second house, which is the NCLP. The time frames are as follows. The bill is transmitted to the referred committee, and this will take a day. The committee is then deliberates on the bill, including facilitation of the public, which is 1 to 6 weeks. The estimated time frame would then be 7 to 9 weeks. The report is then to the second house, which is 1 week, and consideration by the second house is 1 week. So the estimated time in the second house could range between 2 to 3 months. This will also be dependent on whether the bill is classified as a Section 75 or 76. In conclusion, members, I'd like to state that before the process of drafting can commence, the policy is crucial, as this will inform the drafter on what the content of the bill should entail. Once policy is developed, an average between 6 to 10 months is required for the development and the processing of the bill in the first house. Then an average of about 2 to 3 months is required in the second house. Thus, 8 to 13 months will be needed for the processing of the bill in Parliament. But the above is an estimation of the time frames and is dependent on the subject matter and any contentious issues, lack of instructions or clear policy from the relevant stakeholders. It will also be dependent on extensive public submissions and further material amendments being affected. We can assist the committee with the drafting of a bill. However, our office does not develop policy, and we'd like to stress this again. The relevant stakeholders and the experts, i.e. the relevant department, the CFO, heads of members' facilities, will have to assist with the policy development. Due to the constrained resources, our office cannot undertake to reduce any time frame set out in this presentation. Thank you, members.
Thank you very much, Jolana. I suggest that we go through all the presentations before we open for inputs, or do you members think that it's better that we do inputs after every presentation? Members, are you still there? Can you hear me?
Chairperson, this is Honourable De Villiers. I would support your suggestion that we go through all of the presentations and then we can have deliberation afterwards.
Thank you, Honourable De Villiers. Let's go to Honourable Dumisani. You wanted to say something?
Yes, thank you, Acting Chair. I think that is a proper one, so that we also save time. Let's get everything and then we respond at once. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, members. I think you must just make your notes when we are going to come to questions, that we have got all the notes. Next presentation, King, can you please slide our agenda? The next presentation will be.
Thank you, Chairperson. However, though members have agreed, course, but I was going to request, in terms of the procedure, that because these are two separate presentations, where now this one deals with the manner of drafting a bill, if you can deliberate on it and then finish so that they can be excused also to attend another meeting, and then we stay behind with the department when it's doing its BRRR report. I don't know whether I'm taking the meeting back or what.
No, I hear you in terms of procedure. You are correct. Let us follow the procedure, because there's things that we'll discuss that we would not want them to be in the meeting. So, members, the floor is yours. to engage the presentation that we have just received. I think the presentation in the main has just said to us what the process is. There's nothing that that is really new or engageable. What Talana has done is just spoken to what procedure is. The floor is open for hands now for any clarities and for any other thing like that. So members, the floor is open to you.
Chair, there's a hand from the Mr. Sbusiso, the content advisor, maybe if you can say something, and then members. And yes. Also there's a hand from Honorable Kruger that are
in that order, first Sbusiso and then Honorable Kruger. The floor is yours, Sbusiso. The floor is yours.
Hello. Am I audible, Pratin?
Yes, you can go ahead.
Yes,
my apologies, Acting Chairperson. No, Pratin has covered me. I actually wanted to raise specifically what King has raised. So I'm covered, Chair. It's just that I'm using another gadget now. I'm struggling how to lower the hand. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, let's go. It's fine. Honorable Kruger?
Thank you, Acting Chair, and congratulations with your first effort chairing the meeting, and I trust it will go well. And from my side, I also want to send my sympathy to the families of our beloved Member of Parliament that passed away. Acting Chair, I think listening to the legal advisors, there's no reason why we can't just carry on with this bill. Because if you heard, if I understand that correctly, it takes about 13 months here and there to finalize the bill. And if we accept that the election will be around May next year, then we have about 14 months, if my calculation is correct, to push this bill through. And I think we must start working on it so that we can serve our small business committees, because they're suffering out there, and we need to start putting up on our boots and start working so that we can push this ball through. Thank you, Chair. Acting Chair.
Chairperson, there's also a hand from Honorable Matulelo.
Is the Acting Chair still on?
It seems as if the network has kicked him out. I'm sorry. I think Ms. Honorable Matriello can proceed, maybe still trying to join. But I think the network has kicked him out.
Okay, thank you very much, Prakin. Condolences to the family and friends of the Honorable Member that has passed on. Greetings to Honorable Members. Mine is to say that I'm happy to have this presentation on bills. I think also, yes, we are in the process of the particular bill, but I'm more concerned of more bills that this committee, there are many bills that we must put because of the many restrictions or any obstacles that are blocking small businesses to perform whatever they believe that it's going to take them to be a commercial somebody or whatever. But I'm happy to have this presentation, and I also need to emphasize that I think we must put in place many things that we think should be looked at. For instance, there is this thing of decriminalization of the agriculture part of small businesses. They don't operate freely in that sector of farming and all of those things. Also, as well, we have got a problem with the bylaws that are clashing with whatever we think we represent as the as this committee or as the department is concerned, the Department of Small Businesses. So we need to amend as many as possible laws to enable our people to be freely and make it possible for them to function or to do their own businesses wherever they are. Thank you very much, Braking.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tenjane. I would request that Honorable Jacobs, since we are still in the meeting, can we proceed while we are waiting for Honorable April to try and reconnect?
King?
Hello, Nestle.
Hein just phoned me, called me, he's in the waiting room.
Okay, but it's not showing here.
Okay.
I'm only seeing Caroline Molife. Honorable Formula.
Brachi, should we continue with our question? I hope the input, because I hope the officials are on the platform to listen to our input. Should I continue while we're still trying to locate the chair?
Yes, you can continue.
All right, let me also join my colleagues who have made the input about the committee bill before me. But however, Chairperson, I have two inputs based on the presentation that has been made. The first one is, I want to appreciate the presentation on the basis of, I think the intention is to fill in the gaps in the committee law. But my question is, I want to check, I once saw through one of the slides that was indicating the participation of the public, but my point is, the facilitation of the public involvement, is it going to be done by the committee? What is the process, the actual process? Are we going to go through the PCOs, or if we go to a particular province, what is the approach exactly, and how are we going to make sure that when we say there will be involvement of the public? Of course, obviously, people who have interest, it's more of the small businesses and other big businesses in this process. I want to check, how are we going to facilitate them? If we're saying we do the Northwest, for an example, are we going to bring them into one point, or what is the plan that the department have done to make sure that the involvement of the public is realized according to the public participation procedure? So I wanted to check only that, but more or less, I want to appreciate the presentation
and to appreciate that the gap will be felt by the law committee. And I hope it will also try to close some spaces where there are loopholes. The gaps will be closed by this committee bill. But my interest is only on the process of the facilitation of public involvement. Are we transporting them into one particular place, or what is the process? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm back. Thank you for going ahead, Honorable Tomelang. The load shedding just hit and I was out, and I see that others have also indicated the same. Is there any further hands, King, of questions?
No, Chairperson.
If there's no any other hand, I think that the input that Honorable Tomelang is making is asking, what is the process? Can she be answered? Is this a parliamentary process? Is it a process that Parliament will be handling? Is it a process that will be handled by the department, so that there can just be clarity about that? Talana?
Thank you, Acting Chair. So the process is as follows, that through the committee secretary, we do advertise the bill and we call for comments. And then it's entirely up to the PC, as there are no set rules in terms of public participation, but just a guideline. So if the PC chooses to have host various hearings in different provinces, it can do so. Or if the PC then decides that it wants to centralize and have online submitters and do presentations to the PC, that is also an option. It is entirely up to the PC, and also Mr. Kunene would be best placed to advise the committee on whether it would be per province or whether it will be centralized, or if it would be both. I remember with Section 25, with the amendment to Section 25 of the Constitution, which was also a committee bill, the committee hosted, advertised the bill. They had high-level submitters come in and present on their submissions. And then they also visited the province and did roadshows into various different provinces. I hope that helps.
Thank you, Talana, for your input. I think we as the PC will through King and Spoo and others, decide on how that process is going to work. If then there's no further hands, we could probably release Talana from the meeting for us to go to the other presentations. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Talana. King, can we go to the next presenter?
Yes, Chairperson, we can...
I lost the key.
No, I can hear you. I don't know what I want in agenda, or should I just say, because it could be the department.
Yeah, thank you very much, King. We are done. We can now think by the Department of Small Business. We can give over DG to take us.
Honorable Chair.
I was coming exactly. The department is led by Deputy Ministers Dumot Lamini first. Honorable Deputy Minister, excuse me. You can take the floor.
Thanks very much, Chair, and good morning to you, and of course the Chair who is seeing the doctor. I also want to greet humbly the members of the Portfolio Committee and our DG and the CEOs of our entities. This morning, Chair, as it is expected, members of the PC and the members of our entities from the department and the entities. Honorable Chair, we are here today to provide feedback on the recommendations and observations by the Portfolio Committee on the BRRR. We hope to have a productive and robust engagement with the honorable members. The department team is led by our DG, Mr. Mkhumane, led by the CEOs, leading also the CEOs from the entities. At this point, Chair, we also extend our condolences to the family of the member that has passed on, but also to the our DG also lost his father. Chair, we are now proceeding, and I would want at this moment, with your permission, Chair, to allow the DG to give the presentation of the department. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable the Deputy Minister. Can the DG come? We join the Deputy Minister in his condolences to the DG as the study group, and not the study group, the PC. But yeah, over to you, DG. Welcome.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, DM. The condolences are well received. I will also maybe try and be quick. I know that the presentation is about 51 slides, but I'll try and give those where we believe there are repetitions that are covered in other slides, Chair. And also, I will not be reading the recommendation. I'll just be focusing mostly on the responses from the department. With your permission, I've also requested just to switch off the camera so that I don't have challenges with the bandwidth. Thank you, Chair. The DM has spoken regarding the reasons why we are here, so I'll skip those two slides so that we can save time. We appreciate also the observations and recommendations from the Portfolio Committee. We do take them seriously and respond and take initiatives to make sure that we improve our performance, because we believe that the inputs are aimed at assisting us to really improve our performance. On this recommendation or observation 6.1, Chair, it's broken down into a number of observations, but here on the slide, we're just responding to the work that is being raised here. The concern raised by the Portfolio Committee regarding the increase in the impairments from CIFA, rising from 800 million to 1 billion, we're indicating, Chair, that we are increasing capacity in the post-investment monitoring unit within CIFA to ensure that we get closer to the clients, but we also monitor closely the performance of these clients, because their performance is critical in them having capacity to operate efficiently and also pay back the money that was advanced to them. There is further input here that we are indicating, Chair, that at CIFA, different heads of departments have been allocated respective regions so that they can work with their regional managers as well as post-investment units, so that we can enhance the collections in the coming months. Also, the collection hub, which has 6 new employees, started working from the 1st of December. This is aimed at boosting capacity to make sure that we intensify collections on TREP as well as COVID relief loans, where we're experiencing mostly these impairments. Mentors, during January 2020, they were given 5 TREP assignments, each to focus on collections and assistance to clients as well, because we do also offer some assistance to make sure that these clients are not only just being chased, but they are also assisted with the intervention that can assist them to improve their performance. We're also indicating, Chair, that we're also implementing certain systems, we're going through automation, but an early warning system, Chair, will be introduced, because it assists in us being early in identifying those clients that will have some problems with paying back the money. So by quarter four of 23-24 financial year, we should be having the system in place. Also, we've undertaken campaigns to deal with those clients that are not paying back the money. Just to indicate, Chair, I think the CEO of the CIFA has indicated in the past meetings that some of the behaviors of the people that are being advanced support from CIFA side in particular are really not assisting, because they are able to do every other thing except take back the money that is due to CIFA. So they are living, you know, a very comfortable lifestyle, but they don't want to pay the money that was advanced to them, so that we can be able to recover this money and also advance this money to other clients. We are indicating here on the same observation that the portfolio committee, even though they welcome the clean audit opinion, they raise some concerns about the performance of the department, that we only achieve 60% out of 100, which is 15 out of 25 targets. And we're indicating the Chair that even though in some instances the 40% that was not achieved, it doesn't mean they are 100% not achieved, but it's those targets where we did not achieve 100%. So in instances where we were supposed to, let's say, support 10 enterprises and we support 9, we still count those as unachieved because it does meet the target that has been set. That this further explains that that we are instituting some interventions. We know that, for example, we will exceed this target. So that this achievement of last year, the 60%, this year, 22-23 financial year, because there are interventions we put in place, including some catch-up plans, to make sure that those targets that are lagging behind are achieved come end of the financial year. Chair, this is just a further explanation in terms of what we've done in various with various targets, which has already improved the performance in the past. One target, for example, that we are doing well on is the payment of value creators within 30 days. We have now the structure that has been approved. We know that the PC also played a role in pushing for the finalization of the structure. We are in the process of filling all the vacancies. We know that given the budget that has been given to us, we will not be able to fill all the vacancies that we are having now because of the new structure, because the money that is there does not allow us. Treasury will give us this money staggered over a period of 3 years. Funding policy, for example, we've moved, we've already started presenting it to the government clusters. We started with the digital clusters in December, and now it has to go to cabinet, so that it can go out and be gazetted for final public consultations, so that we get the buy-in that we need. TREF application, we are always improving here, Chair, on TREF, simplifying it and making sure that we get as many people to access the support. On cooperatives, we are engaged with quite a number of stakeholders in the cooperative sector, including, for example, DGFV, which is one of the German institutions that has been in the country for quite a while, working with quite a number of stakeholders in the cooperative sector to provide business development support to cooperatives. We started engagements with the University of Zululand. They do have a qualification there, on national diploma on cooperative management. We are engaging with them, seeing how we can work together in making sure that we are able to support cooperatives better, but looking at the capacity, even those people that they produce, who have obtained, you know, diploma in cooperative management, how we can work with those, because they did have a partnership with the provincial Department of Economic Development in KZN, but they don't see the people that they are producing being deployed, for example, in districts, so that they can assist, you know, the district municipalities to mobilize cooperatives and assist in mentoring them. On the legislation, Chair, we, as indicated to the portfolio committee in the past, we had to delay the National Small Enterprise Bill for two reasons. One was the issue of ensuring that Section 20, Subsection 2 is constitutional, because the Office of the Chief Statutory Advisor, as well as the State Attorney, had picked up that it might be unconstitutional, so we had to amend that clause, because they said it gives the minister powers to amend legislation, of which that is a prerogative of the parliament. Secondly, we had to delay it to accommodate the incorporation of FIFA and CBDA into CEDA, of which that process has been finalized. Chair, we can confirm with the portfolio committee that the amendment bill is now being discussed with the Office of the Legislative Advisor. Chair, on this one, I'm not going to repeat some of the things that have touched on here, just to highlight one thing, Chair, that the business case for the incorporation of FIFA and CBDA into CEDA has been finalized, approved by the minister and submitted to DPSA as well as National Treasury. That was done on the 6th of December for concurrence and approval, because we cannot just go ahead without these two government departments agreeing to what we are putting there as the business case for the MESH institution. Ministry is following on a weekly basis with these two departments, because we are also concerned about the delays from their side, because we are operating under very tight timelines, so we need their support in speeding up this process. Chair, on the issue of the advisory body, we did get clarity here because there was then the perception that it's an advisory council, but it's not an advisory, it's an advisory body, of which these are two different things. They have different legal implications. What we are doing or in the process of finalizing now is the consultations with National Treasury so that they can guide in terms of the remuneration framework so that we are able to compensate people who will be participating or forming part of this advisory body and also undertake these consultations that will need to be undertaken as per the Act to make sure that we get the body in place, because the Act directs us to do some public consultations in the establishment of this advisory body. Chair, just to indicate, I think I've spoken to this, that we had finalized the process or the business case as well as the amendment bill for the establishment of the Ombuds Service, but we had to be delayed because we couldn't put two amendment bills that are talking to the same legislation at the same time or following each other, because we could have finalized the business case and finalized the amendment bill and send it through Cabinet as well as Parliament, but the advice that we got was that we need to make sure that we submit one bill so that we can get one certificate, get one fair certificate, and does not create any confusion in the market with different bills, amendment bills that are talking to the same legislation. Chair, here I'm not going to repeat because it's covered in under the previous observation. And Chair, here we just wanted to also clarify the issue of the business amendment bill, that it was not transferred when the department was established in 2014. It was only transferred in October 2020. And then we started with the process of amending that bill. I'm sure members will also remember that this in 2013, this business licensing bill raised a lot of emotions because others were saying we're just creating more red tape, but we tried. Chair, in the work that we are doing to make sure that it does reduce red tape. For example, some of the issues that we are addressing in the bill is the complaints that have been raised by informal businesses as well as the formal businesses, that some municipalities delay them when it comes to the issuing of licensing and permits. When the inspectors go around and they discover that you don't have a permit, even though you've applied, they still shut you down, even though it's not your fault, as an SMME. So we are saying we need to shift the obligation to the municipality. It should not be the fault of the SMME or informal business that they don't have the permit, even though they have applied. So those are the changes, some of the changes, Chair, that we are advocating for in this amendment bill. We know that there is contestation from other stakeholders, including some municipalities, regarding this, but we are also pushing, for example, that they must not take the fees, license fees, as an income. It should only be basic and only cover, you know, the administration cost, because we discovered that some of the municipalities, they really think this is a revenue stream. That's why some of them, they go as far as charging 3,000 rand, you know, for a permit. So we are in the process of submitting this amendment bill next month, which is March 2023. Chair, I will skip this slide because I've spoken to this of where the process is in terms of our bill that we are discussing already with the Office of the Chief Special Advisor and also engaging with DPME for the issuance of the certificate, of which we have to update it, the one especially for the combat service team. I've spoken to this one, Chair, the SME and cooperatives funding policy that we already done with the DG's cluster. We received input and we are proceeding now to cabinet committee so that they can give us a go ahead for it to be presented to cabinet and then be gazetted for further public consultation. Chair, on the cooperatives, here we are saying we have worked especially with the Minister and the Deputy Minister giving direction here on how we can start improving the support that we provide to cooperatives, increasing, for example, the grant component at 90% at least, so that we can get to cover as many cooperatives as possible. So we have already consulted with National Treasury because this might require us to shift funding to CEDA so that they can be able to offer this support to cooperatives. So we're waiting just for the beginning of the financial year because they said we can only apply for that money to be moved from the 1st of April because they cannot talk about the money that is not there yet this year. We had written to them already asking them to shift the funding, but they said we must wait for the 1st of April. So we are moving the money to CEDA so that we can quickly move with this support, and CEDA is going to utilize some of the systems that they have in place where they are able to offer support to enterprises through the provision of equipment to those who are qualified. Chair, here we just also indicating that there is work that has been done or is being done as we speak in also relooking at the whole cooperative support. So it's not just about financial support. We are looking, for example, at the current legislation, looking at the current policy. So there is support that we've received from the EFSA program to get someone to assist us with this work so that we do it as quickly as possible. We believe that within a period of 5 to 6 months, we should be able to have a different approach and a strategy in terms of how we support cooperatives. And then there we're just listing the support that has been provided to cooperatives in the past financial years through our small enterprise finance agents. Chair, here we're just indicating here that we the disjointed working relationship between CEDA and SIFA is being corrected. We believe that the merger of the three entities will further facilitate that, but just to indicate that there are already structures between CEDA and SIFA where they sit at an executive level to discuss and identify areas that need immediate attention of the two entities. So there is ongoing work that is being done already, but we've also included CBDA, for example, in our governance forum where the accounting officer sits with the chief executive officers of the entities, we included CBDA, so that we start, really collaborating. So we know exactly what they are busy with. We have ideas in terms of what needs to be done to make sure that there is proper integration with CBDA coming and forming part of CEDA and SIFA portfolio. Now we are clear in terms of the work going forward. But what the added advantage, Chair, of bringing CBDA is that we'll be able to do more work in expanding access to finance, given that they do support cooperative banks, they also support cooperative financial institutions. So it's an added advantage for us that we'll be able to reach more people, especially those who are based in township and rural communities. Just as a further explanation, Chair, of what I've spoken about, that there's quite a lot of deliberations and engagements between the two entities to address the challenges that have been raised by the portfolio committee, but also by some SMMEs that we need to improve the support that is non-financial support that is provided by CEDA so that people can easily access financial support offered by SIFA. Chair, here is just an emphasis that there is active work that is being done by SIFA in ensuring that we do work closely with the microfinance intermediaries, because we always acknowledge, Chair, that it's impossible for government to address the credit gap that is in the market. So we need to work with as many ecosystem partners as possible. We're also expanding in terms of supporting the emerging MFIs, because we believe that we need to get more stakeholders or more players in the space. So there is a differentiated strategy to look at those that are well established as well as those that are emerging and as well as cooperatives. Chair, we're indicating here the work that we are doing in terms of providing targeted support. Here, when it comes to informal businesses, for example, we do treat them differently from those that are formalized. Informal, we do provide 100% grants because we understand that they do not have capacity to start, dealing with credit. But we do believe that at some stage they will graduate. So the issue of providing mentorship and making sure that we can hold them so that they grow and become a micro as well as a small and medium businesses. And work is being done here. We're working closely with all the districts and local municipalities. We do not really interact directly with the SMEs without the involvement of our municipalities, because we believe that we are also assisting them to provide support to also get a better understanding of the clients or small businesses that are existing in their areas, because we believe the role that has been played by these SMEs should assist the municipality, for example, in coming up with the appropriate LED strategies and address the right concerns for the from the SMEs and cooperatives. Chair, here we're just committing that given this observation by the portfolio committee, will improve in terms of the way we also present our report so that it's not just taken at a very high level, at a provincial level, but we do go down to the district level. We are working on that to improve. But what we have also observed, Chair, is the issue of this business license and trading service that we're not putting it now as a requirement for one to get funding because most municipalities are really failing businesses and not providing these licenses and permits on time. So we've not put that as the precondition for anyone to access funding. We are saying at least there must be a commitment that you want to obtain this permit. The mistake or the delay is not on your side as an informal trader, but the delay is on the side of the municipality, and then you proceed and provide a support. Chair, here we're saying we're doing quite extensive work in driving the issue of formalization as the recommendation 204 of International Labour Organization. That's why we're providing both financial and non-financial support to upgrade or support to the informal businesses. With the Businesses Act, I have indicated that consultations have been undertaken with provinces and municipalities, and we're pushing that we finalize this and send it to cabinet by next month so that it can go for these public consultations. As I indicated, Chair, there's quite a lot of interest around this business amendment bill, given that the powers were devolved to provinces, and provinces also devolve these powers to municipalities. So it will be quite a contested bill, but we are ready to push for the state of SMEs and cooperatives. We just committing here, Chair, that we are committed to executing the mandate, which we believe is very critical, which we take our mandate from the medium-term strategic framework, the RRP, as well as the Minister's Performance Agreement, because these are the documents that, amongst others, they oblige us to deliver on certain mandates and ensure that we do what is expected of us as a department. Chair, just here an expansion in terms of what we are doing around red tape. What we've done, we've developed what we call a dashboard where we are looking at specific challenges that have been raised by municipalities, by SMEs and cooperatives when it comes to the support that is supposed to be provided by municipalities, and identify those issues through this dashboard, municipal tape dashboard. One, it includes the complaints and notification system, because even if some of these businesses raise certain issues with municipalities, but if there is no proper system to handle these complaints, they don't get anywhere. The other issues around the approval processes, and the SMEs complain that it takes very long for them to get zoning rights and approval processes, land development finalized. Lengthy processes, especially when it comes to supply chain management processes, some essence not being paid on time. This is one of the areas that we are tackling with the municipalities in this municipal red tape dashboard. Business registration licenses, I'm not going to repeat on this one, Chair, I've spoken to the issue of concerns around licenses and permits. Communication, there's lack of communication between municipalities and small businesses that are operating in those municipalities. Some of them, for instance, they don't get to know about tenders that are from the municipalities. Enforcement of bylaws that promote business development. Here, Chair, we are saying even if it's a requirement for municipalities to have these bylaws, but they must also be developmental in nature. It's not just about shutting down those people who are operating in certain spaces, but we need to find a way. We're not promoting, chaos that business can operate everywhere, but the way the municipal bylaws, some of them are not being reviewed, to take into consideration, other developments. Better management of informal trading. We've observed in quite a number of municipalities, some of these structures that have been constructed, some of them, they don't even have shade, on top. If a municipality is putting infrastructure, they must make sure that at least you are able to protect these informal businesses, from the adverse weather conditions, because it doesn't help for them to be operating these structures, but when rain comes, they have to run away and close their business. Chair, just to indicate that we also have what we call an interprovincial task team on red tape reduction, where we have all provinces participating, where we deal with sectoral issues. We are able, for example, we're able to have one engagement where we
recording in progress.
We work here with various stakeholders, and we have a report that highlights what are the challenges, which legislations affect SMEs negatively. What we are doing now, we're in the process of now coming up with specific recommendations around these regulations and legislations, and saying for this legislation to work better for SMEs, this is what needs to be done. We intend to take this through to cabinet, because it affects all government departments, and cabinet should be able to give directives in terms of what each department must do to make life easier for SMEs. We're also working closely, Chair, here with the Red Tape Champion, and we've also been providing support to them, and they've been providing support to us in ensuring that the commitments that are made by the President are executed. Chair, we're saying here we do work closely with the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, CoCTA, under the DDM, and we do take guidance from them. For example, the District Economic Ecosystem Facilitation Project that is led by CEDA forms part of our work that we are doing through the DDM to make sure that we are able to understand, who is operating at the particular district from the ecosystem point of view, because as I indicated, we are not able to do everything as a department, but we want to partner with as many stakeholders as possible so that we are able to reach as many SMEs as possible. We're saying here further, we will take guidance from COCTA. We've pushed for this view of the portfolio committee regarding the parliamentary constituency offices on how we can work closely with them, but we do take invitations from various members of parliament to go and address SMEs in various areas. Chair, I've just highlighted this in red because it includes some inputs that we've received, updated inputs that we've received from CIDA regarding the audit outcomes, where CIDA is just indicating here that they did receive an unqualified audit opinion with adverse findings, but the emphasis was on performance information. On the financial component, there were no findings, but what has been done already, because CIDA wanted just us to be clear that a lot of work has been done to make sure that we deal with these findings going forward. The performance information matters, CIDA has approved development of the information reporting system so that data integrity is guaranteed. The system has been developed, Chair, and it was completed at the end of quarter two of 2022-23. So at the end of September, the system was already in place. Some employees have been trained and they've started utilizing this system so that we can capture client data, because the one of the issues here, Chair, is that CIDA has to get information from various districts, various branches, which needs to be consolidated so that CIDA National can be able to present the performance of the entities. So there are quite a lot of things that can happen between the process when data is being captured at the branch level until it gets to the district level. So one system has been developed to address that. But CIDA further plans to finalize the CRM system by the end of the first quarter of 2023-2024, and therefore committing that we are determined to address and make sure that we completely eliminate these negative audit findings by the end of 2023-24 financial year. Chair, I'm not going to repeat on this one. I did speak to the fact that we're done with on our side with the amendment bill. We are discussing it with the Office of the Chief Legal Advisor. Just to call a correction there, the 22 December 2022, because we submitted the business case with Treasury and Department of Public Service and Administration. Here I'm not going to read because it does talk to the previous recommendations or observations that have been made by the portfolio committee regarding the Ombuds service bill, and was just emphasizing of where the matters are regarding the delays in the finalization of this small enterprise amendment bill, by focusing on this component, because we came up with a chapter that talks to the small enterprise combat service. And we did indicate, Chair, that we did obtain the legal certificate and also obtain the social economic impact assessment certificate from the PME, so that we proceed, but we have to delay so that we accommodate the measure as well as the amendment of the clause in the National Small Enterprise Act. Here, Chair, we're just indicating that we've addressed these matters in the previous recommendation of the Vision 6.2 and 6.5. And then here on this slide, we are again reiterating the fact that we are pushing for the business amendment bill, that we are taking into cabinet next month so that it can be taken out for the consultations as well as taking it back to the portfolio committee for further processing. I did speak to this one, Chair, the funding policy of where we are. We're just waiting for us to take it to cabinet by as soon as possible. Chair, here is also an emphasis on the non-financial support that we want to advance to the cooperatives. We are saying even though we've done some work in providing the support, we're still committed to also providing financial support. There is always a deficiency, Chair. Given the previous audit findings that we've received around supporting cooperatives, so we try and emphasize more on the provision of this non-financial support so that cooperatives are also ready to receive financial support from the department. We also not fall foul of the audit findings where we end up funding people who are not really properly registered and all those things. So the work that we are doing, including the support that we are getting from other stakeholders to push this support, is work that we are taking seriously. And as I indicated to the portfolio committee that we hope in the next 5 to 6 months we should be able to finalize the cooperative approach to support all our cooperative enterprises. This also talks to the same thing. As I indicated earlier, we've shifted the support to be provided through CEDA so that we are able to utilize the existing systems that are in place within CEDA. Dear Chair, I spoke briefly about this matter that we bringing in the CBDA. It has also assisted us in doing more work around access to finance. Also, CIFA is evaluating the cooperative financial institutions, which are also supported by CBDA as potential partner base to assist us in supporting more financial intermediaries. CIFA is also in the process of establishing this fintech platform, which will enable financial intermediaries to access the common IT support service and enable intermediaries to access things such as loan management system, accounting services, and other institutional services, thereby lifting the administrative burden of these emerging financial intermediaries, as indicated earlier, that we have a differentiated strategy supporting those that are existing intermediaries as well as the new ones that we are bringing on board. Here, we're just making a commitment on this observation that we are aware that most of the funding has been going mostly to Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal and Western Cape, and we're committing that we're doing some work of which some have started to bear some fruits by seeing an increase in some of the rural provinces who are benefiting from the allocation. Yes, we're saying, for example, the last sentence there that as per 31st of December 2022, the Eastern Cape and Northern Cape have already achieved their annual approval targets, whereas Northwest, Northern Cape and Free State have reached their annual disbursement targets by December 2022. This is as a result of the support that is given to these provinces in terms of additional personnel and training that has enhanced this performance to these provinces. Also, Chair, we further committing to the portfolio committee that we continue to upscale or upskill the business advisors from CEDA because they are the first people to interact with the clients, and even those who are not qualifying when they go straight to CIFA, they are referred to this business advisor. So the skills of this business advisor is quite critical for us because it assists in ensuring that SMEs are properly prepared before the investment is offered. And they also have quite a number of new business advisors, they need to retrain them on the privileges for recommending a client for assistance with the business plan. Because it's critical that we have things in place like the proof of the market. We do also note the recommendation, and then we will also incorporate, especially from CIFA side, the distribution, of the support to the district level so that the portfolio can be able to monitor as closely in terms of the support to various districts. We are indicating to you, Chair, that and honorable members, that we are moving with speed in terms of filling the vacancies that we have. Like I indicated earlier, that we've quite reduced our vacancy rate as at the end of February, for example, we're sitting at 10.8, moving down from around 15% for the past few months. Now we're sitting at 10.8, but we are also experiencing some resignations, but we are determined to get adequate capacity for the department, and where necessary, we do get additional capacity to assist us on a temporary basis, especially to cover the work around the district development model and making sure that we do have capacity to deliver at the district level. We do have 144 additional posts, but the budget that has been given to us does not allow us to fill all 144, as National Treasury has staggered the money that is given to us over a 3-year period. So by the end of 25, 26, we should be able to have filled most of these posts, but we know that we're not always 100% because people do resign all the time. This is a matter, Chair, of which we are responding regarding the high turnover, and we know that there is some sort of uncertainty within the entities because of the this pending incorporation. But that's why we are pushing hard with these departments that are causing some delays National Treasury and DPSA to make sure that they get this business case off their hands so that we can proceed with other activities that will enable us to meet this cabinet deadline. And we do different leaders get officials on short-term contracts, but this is not really adequate because most people will not really leave their jobs for a 17 months or even a 24 month contract. So it is a very dire situation, but we are doing our level best to make sure that we get this measure finalized as soon as possible. I think I'm not going to repeat on this one, Chair, that we've done the work that needs to be done from our side, and now we are waiting for these processes to be finalized from the DPSA as well as National Treasury. We are committing here, Chair, that we took the adverse opinion, especially as they indicated that there is some lack of proper planning or good planning in their performance management, monitoring and reporting. And we say from CEDAR side, but linked to the previous slide, where there's quite a lot of work that is being done, including the finalization of the CRM system, the performance information management system that has been developed. So quite a lot of work has been done, and we are hopeful that by the end, 2023-24, we'll have fully eliminated all the adverse findings as pertaining to the performance information from CEDAR 5. Chair, this is also a repetition, so we're saying we've covered this work under 6.14 or the response under 6.14, and we are saying we're requesting portfolio committee to consider and note the feedback from the SBD portfolio in relation to the 2022 B-RRR. I thank you, Chair. With your permission, I'm not sure that the CEOs might want to add one or two things I might have missed. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, dear.
Thank you very much, DG. Appreciated the input that you have given. I think we should give the CEOs, if there's anything from their side. I think you've done a thorough job. In terms of time, we still do have time. CEOs, before we open the floor for honorable members.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, let me jump in first. Colleagues, Machamba, CEO Sifa, I've got a challenge with my camera, Chair. I'm unable to show my face. Apologies to the members, but I'm still the same person who interacted with the committee last year.
We know your
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I must just add to the presentation made by the DG, particularly with regards to the challenges that were around the co-ops. We've, on our side, really have a good pipeline now, and we're certain that by end of quarter four, at least the majority of the funds that are actually in our book would have been actually spent to these co-ops. But also, Chair, to ensure our sustainability, we have also partnered with some of the players in the ecosystem who are actually driving what is called aggregation model, because what we've picked up is that in the studies that we're doing, globally, the best way to ensure sustainability of co-ops is to follow the aggregation model. Because what the aggregation model does is the aggregator provides technical support to a co-ops, and also they provide off-take agreements from the buyers of the products that the co-ops would have produced. So one of the interventions that we want to drive from CIFA's side in dealing with the sustainability of co-ops is the use of that aggregator model. And we're partnering with some of the players in the ecosystem, including the likes of Tiger Brands. And we want to rope in SPA, because SPA is almost in every corner of our country. And we want them to, particularly for the vegetable producing co-ops, to be the suppliers of such fresh produce in their local areas with SPA. And that's the work that we're going to do, Chair, going forward. With regards to TREP, we also going to be forming partnerships to ensure that there is reach for our applicants for TREP programs. Because, Chair,
The TREP program is a very, very high volumes driven product with less values, because the loans are not big loans. They are small loans, but they are many. And CIFA not being structured as an entity that is volumes driven, we realized that the best approach to ensure that we speedily respond to the applicants under the TREP program is to form partnerships also with the ecosystem players. And that I'll leave it to the minister to pronounce at the appropriate time, because we are at an advanced stage in engaging those industry players. And some of them are listed companies. And the rules of listing is that you can't make pronouncement on behalf of those companies without them first actually engaging their shareholders and the JSE. So we will at appropriate time announce that. And the objective really is to ensure that we improve the turnaround times of what we call the applications for self-driven programs. I think I'll leave it there for now. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO. Is the second CEO also going to say something?
Thanks, Chair. Greetings to you and to the members. I was fairly covered by the DT. I just wanted to say that we are indeed working very hard in making sure that the systems are working. We had to move quickly. We had anticipated the problem immediately after the cyber attack, because that we had in the other year, because then our CRM system crashed immediately after that. So we had to go to the market, and the performance management system is, as the chief saying, was completed. We've been training employees, we started using it, but the next financial year will then be the full year of utilization of that performance system, which then we know that the audit of the 23-24 financial year, then we have eliminated all the issues in terms of this, hence we are putting it in the next financial year, including the CRM that will start. So we shouldn't have problems. Our main problem challenge was that when the auditors called for the information, we had to request the information from the branches, because they were stored in the absence of these systems, but we should, and that would take long, as they would go and look for the information on their side. But we should have those sorted, and we should not have these problems when the next financial year is then audited to 2023-24. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Mbata. Now we're going to open for questions from the honorable members. Thank you. The presentation was really, really a lot to take in. Honorable members, by the show of hands, King, will you please just assist me to tell me who is raising their hands so that we can acknowledge them and then give them an opportunity to ask their questions. We are not going to open for second bites. So if people have got questions, I would like to ask from you, King, that you just help me to recognize which hands have been raised. King, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I see the hand of Honorable Kruger. Yes. Honorable Dutenjani.
Yes.
Okay, these are the hands so far.
Honorable Kruger first, followed by Honorable Dutenjani. You may take the floor. Honorable Kruger.
Thank you. I think she, and my apologies for not putting on my video. I see my internet's a little bit unstable. Let me appreciate the presentation, Acting Chair. Although it's a lot of information, but my concern is still with cooperatives. You know, Nick, I heard somebody say the next the next quarter it will happen. I hear this since 2014, the next quarter, the next quarter, the next quarter, and nothing is happening. And the problem is our communities are suffering out there, and cooperatives, there's so many applications for cooperatives. For instance, farmers that need to look after themselves. I'm sorry about that. Looking after themselves, supplying electricity. So imagine farmers can come around, come together, and farmers around small dorpies, because small dorpies are busy dying in South Africa. So and they are surrounded by farmers. So imagine this farmers can come get around with the support of Small Business Development Department and create, you know, and start up cooperatives to generate electricity, not just for themselves, but also for the small dorpy. But Chair, I'm afraid that our department either don't understand the working of cooperatives, and if that is the case, I think they must go and visit our previous chairperson, or there's no appetite for them to give much more attention to cooperatives. That's the one issue. The other issue, I think, Chair, is although the president, not the president, the Minister of Finance, announced finance models for specific for electricity, because I think we all know that electricity is a huge problem for small businesses, and there's millions of them are closing down at the moment as we speak because of load shedding. So the Minister of Finance announced, that there's for business 125% deduction of the taxable income, and then also for household there's a 15,000 rand deduction, not a deduction, a rebate, if they go for, you know, solar system or a system that can assist it. Now the question is, and I would like to ask the DG to answer me, the question is, those businesses called sole proprietors, which is not really registered as a business, but they do business from home, you know, like hairdressers, electricians, there's literally millions of them operating in South Africa. Are they now going to qualify for the 125% deduction, or are they only qualify as a household for the 15% rebate? Chair, I will stand off there and waiting for answers. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker.
Well, thank you very much, Acting Chair. Can you hear me, Chair?
We hear you. I also want to acknowledge, after you, it is Honorable Tlomelang and then Honorable De Villiers.
Okay, Chair. Also, Chair, I don't think I will also not open my video, because there's no electricity here. That's why I wonder if you hear me correctly. I mean, clearly that side. But nevertheless, Chair, well, we we thank for the presentation anyway, because that is what we are here for. But we are hearing the same thing here, Acting Chair. We are mostly hearing the very same thing. The DG, when he started here, he tells this committee that indeed the people that they have given money doesn't want to pay, but they are living a luxury life. Now, it's what we are saying, or we've been saying, that they are giving wrong people the money. They are funding wrong people, actually. They are funding people who are staying mostly in the suburbs, who knows about luxury lives and stuff like that. That is why, at the end of the day, this is what is happening. Those people don't want to pay because they didn't get or ask the money for doing business. They wanted to live that luxury life. Now, also, how does he know them, that they are living a luxury life? He knows them because they're staying together somewhere in the suburbs. Now, this is goes to exactly what we were saying all along, that this department and its entities must provide this committee with details, statistics and details of the people that they've given the money, so that as a committee, we can then call those people to come here and give us a portfolio of evidence. Then we might be in the same page. But now we will always differ, because they are telling us another thing and then we are experiencing another thing. I can hear the in the presentation, they say that SIDA will provide statistics and some details. But then the question is, when? When are they going to provide us that as a committee? Because that will be a starting line. Remember, we need to get the cause of this problem, or the cause of this issue, that everywhere we go, the people tell us that they did not receive money. They were trying to apply, but the criteria is difficult for them. It's not user-friendly, and then they are getting rejected. We want to get that in the bottom of that. To get in the bottom of that, let's get the details and the data base that will then tell us, these are the people in Mpumalanga, so much, Northern Cape, like that. These are the people. So that those people can come and account in this committee. Then we will know now that exactly what is the problem, what is going on. And also, if they can also ease the we've been saying this also, the criteria that they are using. We don't know which one. Because the people that will tell you that they've been rejected, they will tell you the same story, all of them, that they've been frustrated. They were told to provide this, they provided. They were rejected. Then they were told to provide another thing again. Then they provided, then they rejected. Then like that, until a person is being told that, no, you can't qualify because you're not going to be able to repay this money. As for SIDA, at least it's better, because the same people tell us that they do go there and get some business thing. They help them to establish business, guide them as to say, this is how you must do it, this and that. But when they go to SIFA, they are getting rejected. And it's the truth. So maybe one day, if we getting provided with that, which what we are asking. Now, also another thing, Acting Chair, the merging of the SIFA, SIDA, and the CBDA. Yes, it has taken too long. The DG is also witnessing that himself. But why is it taking too long? Because remember, if you keep on telling us that it's taking too long, yes, we know it's taking too long, then what? Push it. That is your work to do it. Push that thing to happen. Now we are almost on the fourth year. The term is almost finished now. But still, there's nothing that is tangible that has happened. Nothing at all. We still going to do it. I know the plan is proper. I can tell you, Acting Chair, the plan is very proper. The presentation here, if you tell someone that it doesn't know, you will agree and say, yeah, hey, these people are working. Meanwhile, the reality is the opposite. And then the youth here, maybe I didn't hear because of the network. I didn't hear anything that tells us about the youth and our people who are living with their disability. I didn't hear anything at all that was talking to them directly. Hence, this youth here, our youth, our children, actually, they are all over the show every day doing nothing, because this department is not doing anything to help them. they are sitting, some of them even end up on drugs and all those things. Some of them end up doing crime because they've got nothing that keeps them busy in a way. They come here, they try to get money, they are being rejected and being told that, no, you can't be able to pay. This department and its entity, it's now acting like our bank that we have here, racist bank that we have always here. Those that they can't give you the money, especially if you are black, it's a fact, they can't give you money. They tell you, no, you can't afford to pay back. So they won't give you, unless you are with another color, then they will give you the money. So we can't have a department that is acting like our racist bank. And this department here, it's a department for the people. We cannot allow that, Acting Chair. I'll agree with the my previous speaker, the Honorable, that says that this department also, it looks like they don't care or they don't worry about cooperative. Cooperative and informal settling, informal traders, they are not being taken care, Acting Chair, I can tell you now. It's even worse now. Now the rain is raining. You can see how these people are suffering. These people don't even have shelter to shelter themselves to can carry on with their work on a daily basis. Some of us who are staying in this area where it's a tourist attraction center. Tourists are all over the show here. They come here, year in, year out. These people are helping themselves by selling their stuff to the tourists. But how do they do it now with this rain? Because this department does not take care of them. They come and try to borrow money so that they can at least get stock and also get their shelter ready, accommodative for the conditions of the weather and all those things, sun and rain. Now, the sun is better because people really always, they are sitting in the sun. We know, we always see them. But the rain is worse. The rain, this rain is raining too much. Then you go, these people, they want to go and work and sell their product to the tourists and stuff. But they can't because it's raining. There's no shelter. You can go to the areas around the Kruger National Park from the northeast and south to the other side of Komati Port and down to the side of Palabura. You will see those people are selling. They've got these curio shops, but they can't sell during the rain. There are no shelters. Why this department can't just give them money to say, okay, yes, money. We want you to at least do something. Build some smaller shelter so that even if when it's raining, you can come and work. They are not working. Because for them, load shedding is not worse for them. Because remember, some of them are selling fruits and vegetables. Those things does not necessarily need electricity. You can sell them without electricity, obvious. But where are you selling them? Because it's raining, there's no shelter. So these are the things that we are saying. And then we are saying, we're asking Acting Chair that please, may this department leave this luxury life in towns and come here in the far-flung rural areas and look at those people. If they have these road shows, which they come here every day and tell us about it, they must come with their road shows and come to the far-flung areas. Go to the township, yes, but also go to the west rural area to help that person. Remember, those people also have a right, like those people who are living luxury life that you are every day giving them money in towns and the suburbs. Thank you very much, Acting Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tlomela.
Thank you, Chair. I hope I'm audible, Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Chair, let me also follow suit on what my colleagues have been saying in appreciating the presentation. And Chair, I cannot agree more with the previous speaker, my colleague, Honorable Tenge. I need to say the people from the rural area are still experiencing a very serious problems. And I think also the areas where they are, it keeps on giving them the setback, because most of the time, even when during this processes of the government, when it's going down with the programs of the public participation, it choose areas where already there are services. So I agree that honestly, we need to go to the previously disadvantaged area. And another thing that I think it can help us as this department, I must appreciate the last visit in November or December by the Deputy Minister, that is Dumo Dlamini. It went to one of the area in Kau in the northwest, Dr. Ruth Mompati, in one of the rural municipalities. The only challenge that one picked there was at some point we communicate with the municipality, and when they identify the SMEs and the cooperatives, they identify those who already have benefited from the other institution. But I was very happy because he came to the previously disadvantaged, and there were even SMEs who were saying it's for the first time we are receiving. But I think we can do more than that. Chairperson, let me go straight to say that I'm happy that there is progress as far as our observation is concerned as a portfolio committee, especially on the issue of the red tapes. I'm saying this, Chairperson, because I was listening attentively to the presentation about the revised criteria in order to reduce the red tape. But I still have a concern, Chair, even if there is progress. My concern is I want to check as to whether the department have categorized when they are saying we are going to revise this criteria so that it can loosen up for our SMEs, our informal traders, and our cooperatives. Are they categorized to say out of 100%, this 20% is given to the informal traders, this one is for the SMEs, this one is for the because we have different types of businesses that our people are offering, formal traders, for an example. But my question, Chair, is my interest also lies on the previously disadvantaged group. Is this revised criteria also have a this particular amount is targeted for the youth, people with disability, or women, Chairperson? And will this criteria also give the opportunity to the previously disadvantaged SMEs, cooperatives, and informal traders to apply, who have received rejection, who have been rejected previously on the basis of the tight criteria? Will they be able to reapply again, Chairperson? And when is this actually going to happen? Is it in place now, or is it going to start in the next financial year? My second check is that I saw that the department have appointed 10 new staff members. But when you look at the organogram, it says we have 144 vacant posts. So I want to check, or what is the plan of the department to fill other posts? Are they not affecting what is supposed to be given to people? Because which means the department is limping. That is my two questions that I have and my concerns. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson.
I've noted,
Yes, Chair, I did not want to disturb the previous speaker, Chair, but where I'm sitting, Chairperson, my concern now is she now a spokesperson for this department? Because she's here, she's saying that she's opposing what I was saying. And then at the same time, she's saying she's agreeing with me because they must help those people who were disadvantaged before. But those people are in the rural areas. Now I want to check if she has now become a spokesperson.
Order, please.
Can I respond for myself? Maybe if I'm wrong, I will let you apologize.
Don't respond, Honorable Tomela. Let us be orderly in this meeting, please, my colleagues. Let us give Honorable de Villiers, and then we will give Honorable Babalwa, and then I will give each one a 30 seconds slide to any talk. Please let us listen to others who have listened to us. Honorable de Villiers, please come.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you, colleagues, for all of the different inputs. I would just like to firstly start with, I hear a lot of the concerns that were raised by members of this committee pertaining to people who failed to qualify for funding. And this committee has not only been concerned about the people who have failed for funding, it is also various times from various different committee members and various different political parties and in various meetings asked the question, Who are the people who have succeeded with getting funding, and why is it so impossible for us to just see a list of the successful beneficiaries so that we can understand who these people were and that we can function and do our oversight as we are supposed to do as the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee of Oversight. Now, on the 23 November last year, in the National Assembly, after we posed a question to the Minister Stella Ndabeni-Abrahams, she replied by and acknowledged and said that the full names and lists of all the beneficiaries of the COVID-19 relief fund package, the relief package, as well as all the beneficiaries of the flood relief funds who supposedly got help, would be accessible. And if we just asked for it, we would get it, which I found interesting because I know that fellow committee members and myself have various times and in various committees asked for it. Nonetheless, I took the opportunity and I wrote an email to the committee chairperson on the same day, 23 November, and said, here's my formal request on paper. Can we please, as the committee, be provided with the names? Can we please see who are these people? Who are these small businesses who have benefited from the COVID-19 relief package and also from the flood relief package? And chairperson, to this day, I have not had a response. So I would very much like to hear from the DG of the department. What hoops do we have to jump through? How much do we need to beg? How do we get the list of the people, the accurate list of beneficiaries who have benefited from both the COVID-19 relief fund package as well as the flood relief fund package, or quite frankly, any relief package that was given by this department, because it is our parliamentary duty to be able to do oversight and to see who those people are and how they qualified, so that we can also then understand how many people did not qualify and why did they not qualify. Because it seems to me, after so many months of asking for the same thing, that there's a shroud of secrecy around who these beneficiaries are. And without jumping to conclusions, why does one keep a list secret? I mean, why is it so difficult for us to access the list of beneficiaries? It's an important question. Who are these people and how did they qualify for the relief? So I would like to, on the record, once again ask the DG, how do we as the committee access the names of the people who benefited from the relief packages, both COVID and flood? And then secondly, on the 18th of January this year, Minister Stella Ndabeni-Abrahams proudly announced an energy relief package for small business. Now, I don't think there's any member of this committee, in fact, or any, I almost want to say, citizen of this country, who do not understand that small businesses are suffering because of the energy crisis. It is, quite frankly, the biggest crisis that our country has seen post-apartheid. Load shedding reaches into every household and destroys small businesses specifically, which basically destroys people's livelihoods, it destroys jobs, and it destroys people's means of income. Whether they are small or medium sized, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you have a little shop or you've got a big shop. If you don't have electricity, you've got a serious problem. And that problem is now shared by everybody across the board. Doesn't matter their race, doesn't matter their religion, doesn't matter who they are. We are all in this together. It is a dire situation. So we welcome any relief package. But since the 18th of January, the minister had an opportunity in the SONA debate to speak for 13 minutes. She did not even announce a date. She did not even go into details. She did not even talk about or give us any clue on what this energy relief package would be like. So I would very much like to hear from the Director General, from the DG, when can we expect details of this relief package? Because it's post-urgent. It is super urgent. Businesses need assistance. Small businesses need assistance with generators, with inverters, with whatever backup electricity we can help provide them. And the longer we take to release this relief package that have been announced. And as the longer we don't understand what it's about, the longer businesses are suffering and people and businesses are dying and employees are losing and laborers, employees are losing jobs. So I would like to seriously stress we need to understand when this package will be released, and we obviously need to understand the details of this package. And when this package is released, we trust that we will be able to see who the list of people are who benefit from it. It would be easy for small businesses to access the relief, that it will not be a difficult process. And also that the application process and the applicants will not have any racial guidelines to it, because quite frankly, load shedding does not shed based on race. If there's no discrimination of load shedding, everybody gets load shed. It doesn't matter who you are. So neither should a relief package discriminate on race. So we trust that this relief package, that it will be transparent, that it will be easy to access, that it will not in any way discriminate on race, and that we as the committee will be able to do our job and understand and see who the people is who benefits from this package. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. The last speaker, Honorable Babalwa, CEOs, before we going to give the department a chance to respond to some of your questions.
Thank you very much, King Chair. Mine is very simple, and it seems that we are crying the same cry about the list of the beneficiaries of the funds of this department. The issue that we have, Chair, you must note that the small businesses were part of beneficiaries of the relief fund of COVID-19, but the money were misused in this department. If you remember, the former minister, the immediate family was the beneficiary. That is why you are so concerned about the list of the these beneficiaries, because when you go deep in those things, and it's becoming suspicious that this department doesn't want to release. We've been crying about this. It's from 2021. Now it's a third year. Now there's no release we're being promised. And this report, if it was practical, it was going to take us somewhere as this department. So this report is just a written and a verbal report and everything that is not practical, that is not done in the ground. And as a matter of urgency, we need the list to be released for the beneficiaries, because we know that there are companies of the immediate families of these ministers that are benefiting from the money that are set aside to be a relief for those who are, like now there is this load shedding now. Also, these people, they must get a relief, more especially those who are doing poultry farming. If the oversight that we did in our constituencies, for instance, in Matatiel, in KwaZulu-Natal, people, they closed down their businesses because this thing of poultry farming requires electricity. You can't do it without electricity, and there are no interventions of giving them the alternate. Maybe they have generators, they've got nothing. Now we want to do a justice for the money that is the budget that comes for each small business. That the beneficiaries, they must be listed. We want to see who is the beneficiary. You will remember the business from Alfred Jinso, that one from Manfreya was in the Sunday. It was listed amongst the beneficiaries, but it did not receive anything, meaning it was a ghost thing that was given to us as a report. So Also, the concern, Mandisa Uvala, Chair, the concern is more about also the oversight. We see the minister going up and down. We see him doing some of the meetings, calling them whatever he called them. But what is so difficult for us as this portfolio committee with the department to go to do an oversight to all small businesses, beneficiaries, and those who are in need of the funding of this of some sort of grant. So why are we not this department? Why does this department do an oversight us as a whole, let alone our things? Because what contradicts with the report here, when we do our own oversight in our constituencies, it contradicts totally with what we are given here as a report. Because people, they tell us that no, CIFA is not helping, is not helpful at all. But CIFA will come here and tell us that they spent this so much money and this and this. So it's very, very big problem of us not going to do oversight. Because if we're doing oversight in all provinces, we're going to know if it's very difficult to call them to come and be part of our meetings as an oversight, where they will tell us that I am a beneficiary. This it has helped me like this, like this. You know. Acting Chair, we've got many emails that people are always complaining about the promises that they were going to be assisted, but they did not receive anything. Daily we receive some emails, and these emails are tagging us all in this community, in this committee, yes. They are tagging us. We see those things. It's very problematic. So please, we need to get things right, because if we are carrying on doing like this, we are not going forward. We are just stuck. That is why we are always going to say this department has called back to the trade and industry, because seriously, I don't know what we are doing. It's very, very painful. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Matulelwa. I think that the department has heard the lamentations of honorable members, noted the questions that honorable members has asked. Indeed, all of your questions are valid questions. I am giving over to the department to answer some of the questions. Let me also join the chorus of those that have said that we welcome the report, we welcome the presentation rather. Because I'm chairing today, I won't use this time to be a referee and a player at the same time. So I'm going to give the department, and after that I'm going to give each one of those who still want to maybe seek clarities or say something a 30 second, unless of course, like people who like Honorable Kruger, who has indicated that he has not finished what he wanted to say, then give him his 30 seconds now before we give the department. Honorable Kruger? Honorable Kruger, are you there?
Yes, thank you, Acting Chair. And it's a bit late after if I heard everybody, but we will all agree that red tape is a problem. Doesn't matter what intervention the government tries to do, there's always red tape for small businesses, and especially the micro businesses are struggling with red tape, and they're struggling to get access to whatever intervention government is thinking up. So, Chair, I actually want to make a proposal today that we introduce a red tape reduction bill or an ease of doing business bill, or we can call it whatever we like. But we all also know now that the red tape unit is not helping small businesses. Small businesses are still suffering with the red tape. And as I say, most of the intervention don't land in at small businesses because of the process to get access to that intervention, and that process is, of course, most of the time called red tape. So I want to propose that we introduce a committee members bill, and I also will lead the study group if the committee feel fit to do so. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kruger. Honorable Dumisani?
Keep it brief. Oh, yes. Yes. Very briefly, Chair. Thank you very much. Yeah, Chair. Briefly, there's an issue that the CEO of FIFA has raised here, which is a very important issue, by the way. And I don't know why they didn't initiate it a long time ago. He's just told us that they started to speak with SPA, so that SPA can then maybe intervene in the production of products of those small farmers somewhere in the rural areas. That's a very good thing. That's a very good move, Chair. They should do it to ShopRite, Checkers, Boxer, and all those shops that are there benefiting in our areas, but not helping our people. This is a very good move. You see, where they do good, we appreciate. This is a very good move. I wonder why they didn't do it long time ago. So there's a good move, Acting Chair. Thank you very much. They must do it further to these other retailers so that our people can get help. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There are some questions. Honorable members, we have spent a lot of time. Can we just briefly go? We acknowledge that there are some ideas that is coming from honorable members to say that this is something that we can look into to make the process better, to make service to our people better, and so on and so forth. For the questions that has been asked, can I have an indication who will be responding? DG?
Thanks, Chair. Let me start maybe with the CEOs. They will respond, and then we'll add CEO CIPA.
Thank you, CEOs. And then the
thank CEO you.
Close it off. We don't have a lot of time. Please don't take it very.
I'll be quick. I'll be quick, Chair. on the issue of the list of beneficiaries. Of not just your COVID and any other specific programs. We did, Chair, compile the list for Parliament, and I remember vividly signing off the covering letter where we even covered the issues of POPIA so that the information of the beneficiaries remains protected. I was actually chatting to the DG on the side. What we will do after this committee is to go back, Chair, and check where did the list get stuck? Because that list we prepared it after the I think we were tabling quarter two performance of the department and entities. But let's I will plead, Chair, that we be allowed to go back and track where it got stuck, because I remember signing it off from our side. And coming to the issue of the co-op, Chair, we initially did indicate, Chair, that there was a crisis of capacity within the entity around the people who are directly involved and should be working on the co-ops from 4 to 5. And we did build that capacity as FIFA late in the year, and we have a program manager for co-ops. And as a result, we were able, Chair, to approve 14.4 million and disperse to co-ops in quarter three to 7 co-ops across the country. And as I sit here, you got 21 million rand applications also for co-ops that we are approving, and it should be concluded by the end of this month. So with the intervention of putting that capacity together, we are beginning to see traction with regards to co-ops, and we'll share those numbers with the committee when we come and present quarterly reports. And quickly, Chair, on the issue of youth and women, the report was not really about that, but I can confirm that when we present in this house quarterly reports, we do report on the disbursements and approvals to youth, disbursements and approval to women-owned entities, and the disbursement and approvals for SMEs that are township-based and rural-based. And so far, as CIFA, we're still meeting those targets.
we will actually share that information again, Chair, when you come to this house to present again quarter four results on how have we done on what we call designated groups, women, youth, and people with disability. The only area where we're struggling with the is a disability target, which we did flag, Chair, in the house previously, that we will be engaging actually the Department of Youth, of Women and People Living with Disabilities to revisit the target, because we have discovered that the target was not scientifically set. We argue that because the target says 7% of the population is people with disability, and therefore 7% of the disbursement of CIFA must go to people with disabilities, which is a misnomer because it assumes that every person who is disabled is in business. And we're saying we're in our engagements now with the Department of Women and People with Disability. Let us look at how many able-bodied people are in business and then extrapolate that percentage and use it again on the formula to determine how much must go to the people with disabilities. And that's the work that we're doing. But be that as it may, we have also streamlined the issue of the people with disabilities, and the numbers are improving. We also have actually brought on board a capacity to work on strictly on people with disabilities within CIFA. DG, you will remind me if there's any matter really. And I would like to give the members the comfort that there's no secret in that number, those numbers. And I remember signing that letter with me personally. And on the issue of people are not paying us, I would like to remind the members that when we assess the performance of the loans, once we've dispersed the money through our post-investment, we looked at the failure rate of these businesses and how many of them percentage-wise were unable to pay us. And we said, okay, let's dig deeper now. We went to the credit bureaus and said, look at the lifestyle of the owners of the businesses vis-a-vis the business itself. And what we're picking up is that they are siphoning money out of the business to finance their lifestyles. It's got nothing to do with anybody being incented or wherever. There's a culture of non-payment in some of our clients. And what we call the moral dilemma, where people feel, if it's government money, I don't have to pay it back. Hence, then, as CIFA, we started the process now of what we call a program called Operation Badala, where we're zooming into all these clients are not paying us. We send them letters of breach. Some of them actually have already obtained judgments in court. And also, we actually listing those who we can see that they can afford in credit bureaus. And now we're beginning to see people creeping out of the woods, coming to negotiate to pay CIFA, because CIFA has never in the past done the route of listing non-paying and affording clients. And we've actually now put pressure on them. Say, come and talk to us. And if you see that we've got money, we'll list you until you comply. So there's no issue about sentencing or any other thing. It is right across the country. And the only area where I can say we don't have challenges of repayments is the poor women in the microfinance space. Because there, I always say, there's honor in the rural areas. I'm not saying people in the urban are not. But the people there, they honor their payments. And because we've got an arrangement where the group lending scheme, the peer members of the group put pressure on the members that let's honor and pay back CIFA's money. But once it comes to your upper level, those who get these loans from, let's say, 250 million rents up, that's where you struggle. CHEP, for example, is becoming a problem because we're seeing this culture of non-payment creeping in. But we are putting that pressure to collect the money. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, CEO. If can request CEO Zita.
Thank you, Chair. We thank the committee for the questions and input. There is one or two things I would like to comment on, and then maybe the TG, you would then deal with the balance. We have on the flood relief. Indeed, we have been a CIDA implementing the relief package, and we definitely have
nothing to hide as far as that list. DG, through you, will make sure that the portfolio members can have sight of that. We will look at the POPIA issues, but we definitely will have to sign off and submit the list of the beneficiaries. I think it's very important that we do, because this is one of the, even though we're at 50 million on the normal businesses and 10 million on the informal businesses, but we are the, our scheme has been the most successful one in terms of what has been done. I just saw that KZN only last week issued requests for SMMEs to apply via tech, provide the information. Thank you very much.
Thank you, CEO. Chair, with your permission, I'll just be very brief as well, starting with the question from Honourable Kruger. I think we've made some commitments, Chair, on the support for cooperatives. Honourable member will remember that since the fifth administration, we've been supporting, but most of the findings, again, came from a cooperative incentive scheme that we had. We will support people who are really not qualifying and all those things. So we had to tighten up and make sure that we protect the resources of the state, but that also resulted in us not being able to disperse money, because we still have to follow up on this money. We still have to go back and make sure that these cooperatives are really existing, but also they are productive and they are able to protect the investment that has been provided by the state. So we had to tighten our processes from our side. We couldn't just ignore the findings of the Auditor General and continue providing support the same way. But as I indicated, from the 1st of April, so next month, we'll get approval from Treasury to shift the support to be provided through CEDA, but CIFA will still continue providing support from their side. But especially those that have co-ops, CEDA will be in a position to support them. As I indicated, there's also a comprehensive review of the strategy as directed by the political principles that we must really relook. Even if we have to amend the legislation, we might need to do that. So we'll take those recommendations with the work that is currently being undertaken. Just to confirm on the load shedding interventions, I think it's the question that was also asked by Honorable De Villiers. We have on our side applied for approval from National Treasury for the support that would be administered internally. I must just indicate, it's correct what was said by Honorable De Villiers, that it will affect everyone. So given the resources that we have, there are quite a number of other interventions that we are looking at. For example, one of the discussions we are having around this is the bounce back scheme, because we believe that there are more resources that are sitting there. We are engaging National Treasury saying, let's utilize this bounce back scheme, especially the involvement of the development finance institutions, but not, they should not, these DFIs go via banks. They should be able to access directly. So there were issues around registrations with the Reserve Bank, of which we are handling those things with National Treasury, because there were those conditions that commercial banks are able to access this thing because they are also working directly with the Reserve Bank, their license and all these other things. So those are conversations we are having. And then there are also discussions around what tools are we going to use, because we don't have capacity as officials within the department to go and say, you need a generator with this capacity. So there needs to be that tool that can be utilized. So we engage with National Business Initiative, we engage with CSIR, because we're looking at even developing an app that can go out, that an SME can utilize to access the capacity that they will need in terms of alternative power, but looking at solar power, looking at the inverters, well, very much engaging with all the stakeholders in the space, including DMRE, they are part of the conversation. Even the Department of Forest, Fisheries and Environment, they are part of it, because we're also looking at this as an opportunity for us to develop, you know, or to come up with alternative source of powers for
small businesses, some of them can get out of the grid completely. So the implementation then, especially on the micro businesses that we are going to administer through CEDA, will only be able to do that from the 1st of April, once we get that approval, because the money that we have is the money that is coming from next year's budget. We don't have the money for those the grants. But on the side of CIFA as well, they are looking at the support for the slightly bigger businesses so that we can provide those investors. But I must indicate, Chair, that it's a technical exercise that has to be done to make sure that we provide the right support. Because some businesses, for example, they've started giving us estimates in terms of the generators that they need. But when you do investigations, talk to people who are involved, the associations who are involved in the alternative energy space, in particular, they tell you that no, maybe a bakery, for example, does not need a 50 kVA generator. You need this kind of kVA. So it's important for us to provide the right support, and that we rely on the other stakeholders, not ourselves as officials, because we'll end up wasting government money giving SMEs and cooperatives wrong instruments. Then on the issue of so the one specific question on the same on sole proprietors, we believe those they fall under the clients that will be approaching SCDA because the micro ones are under that category, those hairdressers that we've already supported, some of them through TREP, those who are operating as individuals, but the informal ones, they are also being supported. We are expanding the IMEDP instrument. So we already have the informal and micro enterprise development program, which targets the informal business, those individuals who are operating in the streets. So we are expanding that to accommodate the issue of load shedding intervention. So that's the response on load shedding, exactly what we are doing around the space. I must indicate, Honorable Chair, that I've checked even with the ministry, some information has been shared on the beneficiaries. There are emails that have been sent to the committee. I think the Mr. Batamba, who is our peer working in the ministry, is interacting with the portfolio committee, sent me, you know, the copies of the emails that were sent to the parliament, including one that was sent in May 2022, the other one was sent in December 2021, providing those lists of the beneficiaries. But also, Chair, in the BRRR that we presented on the 1st of June, we were asked to provide a list of cooperatives. We did provide that list of cooperatives. If you can go back to those records, it's there in the presentation of the 1st of June 2022. So the issue of the list, it does get provided, but as the CEO indicated, there is that provision in terms of the copy, that there is some details that you might not be able to provide without the permission of the beneficiary. But we'll continue to provide the information as requested. Some, we've received some parliamentary questions, we submitted those lists through the parliamentary questions process. Just maybe to also touch on the support, especially rural areas. I think the question was raised by Honorable Chejan as well as Honorable Tomelang. Chair, in the presentation, we did touch on this. If you look at slide 41 as well as slide 42, where we are indicating that we are already seeing results with the shift in terms of the funding moving from some of the provinces prioritizing those that attempt rural provinces, where we deliberately ensure that we increase the expenditure, for example, CEDA. The expenditure by CEDA in Gauteng was lower than the expenditure on the other provinces like Eastern Cape, Free State, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Northwest, because there is a deliberate effort from our side, even the expansion in terms of the incubators. We've provided directives to CEDA that we must prioritize township and rural areas. We on slide 42, we did go into details in terms of the increase in provinces like the Northern Cape, where we've already exceeded, you know, the annual targets in terms of approvals. Northern Cape and Free State also, we have exceeded or met the target in terms of disbursement targets in the two provinces by December 2022. So there is a deliberate effort from our side in terms of increasing support to these rural areas. Chair, the department does not have 144 vacant positions. As I indicated, the ultimate structure that we'll have from after the approval by DPSA on the in September last year, it gives us an additional 144 positions. But the budget is not available for us to fill all 144. National Treasury has staggered the budget that is available. So it, we have, for example, 45 positions for this 22-23, 43 for 23-24, and then 58 for 24-25. So we'll only have, you know, the ultimate structure by 20, by end of 24-25, where we'll have the full 144. So we are pushing, Chair, doing our level best to make sure that we submit the filling of this position or prioritizing the filling of this position. I must indicate, Chair, that even the list on the COVID release, it was even published on our website. At the time, I remember there were, because most people were asking who is benefiting from this, and we did provide this, but there are those considerations, Chair, with regard to COVID. And we will always continue, Chair, to do our level best. There are some specific references to youth. We did speak, for example, in the presentation on what we are doing with the Youth Challenge Fund, with the collaboration between SIDA and SIFA to make sure that the quality of the applications that come through for Youth Challenge Fund are good, because we receive quite a number of them, but some of them really, it will not be in a position to justify giving money to some of the applicants. So the support, which is non-financial support, is being done to make sure that we get quality applications that can be supported, but also we can justify as a department in terms of providing the support to various entities. Chair, we can maybe reshare the emails that we've shared on the provision of the list that we've sent to Parliament regarding especially the beneficiaries that we have. Chair, with your permission, if I can end there, thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. We appreciate your input and your answers. I think that you have thoroughly answered all of the questions. It is 10 past 12 now. I think we have exhausted this agenda item. What is the next agenda item, King? Hello, King. Is there anyone that has the agenda maybe in front of them there? What is the next agenda item? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair, we can hear you.
All right, I think King cannot hear me. Can you guys see what is the next agenda item? Maybe DG, can you hear me? Sorry.
Let me check because I think because of the electricity it just came back, so maybe let me just check the next item, because I'm also using my phone, so I'm not sure if I'll be able to flag it.
I'm also using my phone, that's why I can't see properly.
It's the consideration and adoption of committee minutes for the 15th and 13th November 2022. And then the 22 February 2023.
I think in terms of procedure, we are going to need King to flight those, although we know that members have received via email those documents. But can we just give him maybe 2 minutes? Can someone try to call him?
Okay, Chair, I'll call us.
Please give us 2 minutes, everyone. I see that it is already 10 past 12, but we need to go through those minutes to adopt those minutes of the previous meeting. Yes. So I'm just requesting your indulgence, honorable members and the staff. Honorable the DG, honorable members and DG, could we maybe, I've not heard the CFO say anything in any of our meetings. Is it because there's nothing to say? You are covering him or her very, very well with all of that, because one would have wanted to hear from the CFO. The CEOs are always speaking, but we've never heard the CFO say anything in any of our meetings. Is the CFO here?
Okay, she's there, Chair. Okay, let me ask.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and members. Yes, I have not said anything today, Honorable Acting Chair. Not because I did not want to say a word, but because you did not ask any pertinent questions that required me to respond to, Chair. But I've been here sitting and listening attentively to the robust discussions. Thank you, Chair. And it's good to see you again.
Thank you, CFO. CFO, while I've got you on the line, you can maybe tell us, last meeting we were promised that you were going to pay all the people that, tell me, have you made payments to all those small businesses that you promised to pay? Have you done so that we can congratulate you for doing what you have said you will do?
Chair might have to remind me there, because as DSPD, we're one of those departments that are truly proud to pay SMEs lease invoices that come through within the time frame. If anything, our average is around 9 days. So,
okay.
Yes.
So you are saying there's no invoices of more than 15 days there?
No, there would be, but I'm saying on average, as you have seen in our reports, there will be one or two, but mostly we do have to pay attention to them, Chair, as and when we receive them. Thank you.
King, are you back?
No, he is not back. Oh, okay. I am trying to log in using my laptop so that I can flag the
I propose that the minutes that we send over for our next meeting.
For example,
can someone try to call him?
Okay, Chair, I'll call us.
Please give us 2 minutes, everyone. I see that it is already 10 past 12, but we need to go through those minutes.
Lease invoices that come through within the time frame. If anything, our average is around 9 days. So,
okay.
Yes.
So you are saying there's no invoices
or more than 15 days there?
No, there would be, but I'm saying on average, as you have seen in our reports, there will be one or two, but mostly we do pay attention to them, Chair, as and when we receive them. Thank you.
King, are you back?
No, he is not back. Okay. Let me, I am trying to log in using my laptop so that I can flag the...
I propose that the minute that we send over for our next meeting.
Greetings, colleagues. Can you maybe just share with us what happened? Were we all kicked out of the platform and we all logging in again? What happened? Nomta?
For me, at 12 o'clock, I had load shedding from 10 until 12. So when it came back at 12, I think my laptop restarted. Well, my phone, actually. So I don't know what happened. It was not intentionally. I really don't know. Maybe Braking, you can explain to them what happened. Because I was trying to flag in the minutes that we were supposed to adopt, but then it kicked me out.
Chairperson, members, I'm not sure.
Honorable Adrian,
I can hear you.
Yes, we're all in the load shedding from 10. I think with my wife, whenever the electricity comes back, it gets some trouble. So it kicked me off, and then it was just off. I had to start the meeting from the beginning. So as soon as it had kicked me off, it switched off to all the members, and then even with Nomta, hence I had to restart it again. So it was not, we didn't close the meeting intentionally, I didn't end it. Since now it has restarted because the electricity is back now.
Thank you, King. Let us just check how many members.
Chairperson.
Honorable Jacobs. I acknowledge you, Honorable Jacobs.
Honorable April.
I'm in, Honorable Jacobs. I'm acknowledging you. Honorable Jacobs, you have to unmute me. I can hear you. I can hear you, but you cannot hear me, Honorable Jacobs. You can speak.
Thank you, Chair. No, I suspect we all were kicked out of the system, and I think people are all trying to reconnect, Chair. So maybe you should give us a minute, and then we can proceed with concluding the meeting.
Everything, Chair?
Noted, Honorable Ntanjane. Go ahead.
Because, Acting Chair, I think you are up to date. When are we getting this Minister of Electricity?
I'm not up to date. I can hear from you. I know that you know better. King, will you please alert us when the meeting is at a co-rating stage again, please?
Yes, Chairperson. Mr. Abraham, Honorable Abraham.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we do have six members who do make a quorum, so I don't know whether we proceed with the minutes or, as I posted in the WhatsApp group, that maybe if we can defer them to the next meeting. Or
yes. My proposal was going to be exactly that. Let us defer the minutes to the next meeting. We have been in this meeting since 9 this morning. Let us defer them to the next meeting. We have. Can we have a mover that we defer the minutes to the next meeting, and a seconder, please?
I support Honourable De Villiers.
I second Honourable Jacobs.
Thank you for that. So the meeting notes that we defer until the next meeting, the minutes. With all of that said, members, I would like to thank you for your time and for participating in this very important meeting. I want to also thank the department for the presentations and the time that they took out to come and do the presentations. We know that we are pressed for time, and we've got many challenges, like we were kicked out. Many of our small businesses are kicked out of electricity like this on a daily basis. Makes it very difficult for them to do business. Let us work together to ensure that we hit the ground and make South Africa better for all. Thank you very much. And with those words said, the meeting stands adjourned.